Welcome to the Made Up Savannah podcast. I'm your host, Dee Daniels. Made Up Savannah is a creative production of Corcoran Austin Hill Realty, serving Savannah since 1978. And the Made Up Savannah podcast is brought to you by Savoy Society, colleagues and lovers, and the Savannah Cabaret. Hey, before we get into this week's episode, I'm thrilled to tell you about a big event coming up on Thursday, April 25th at the Made Up Savannah Podcast Studios and Corcoran Austin Hill Realty offices at the corner of Bull and Liberty. It's the second annual Giveapalooza, all to support several fantastic local nonprofits. We'll be at 251 Bull Street in historic Savannah. So we all know that giving feels really, really good. And you probably know that the first step to successful growth for a nonprofit is awareness, and a lot of it. So help us get the word out about this free event on Thursday, April 25th from 4 to 7. We're talking music, raffles, and a whole lot of family fun. Come out and support Heroes for Hallie Grace, Savannah Tree Foundation, Coastal Pet Rescue, Save Sea Life with Liddy, and Quirks. You'll meet the Made Up Savannah team, and you'll learn about a deserving local nonprofit that we know you'll love to support. Thursday, April 25th from 4 to 7 at the corner of Liberty and Bull Streets, the second annual Giveapalooza. We would love to see you there. So excited to be doing another local business spotlight. Things are about to get spicy around here. My guest is Jeremy Bauer, and we're going to be talking about MF Hot Sauce. The MF, I'm assuming, stands for like Mr. Fun or...
Well, the saying is that if they ask, and if your mother especially asks, just tell her it stands for my favorite.
There we go. Okay. All right. Because I was trying to come up with, you know, things.
Yeah, there's my father's, my family's, Monday through Friday hot sauce. It could be just about anything you like, but, you know, for the nice people in the world, we just say it's my favorite.
There you go. It's adaptable to the crowd is what you're saying. Yeah, I like that. Well, welcome to the show. I know we've been talking about having you on for a while, and I'm glad we finally made it happen.
I worked in as best as I could.
Yeah, I know. Busy guy.
I'm trying not to be.
I have gotten to know you around town for a while, and I'm so interested in sharing your story because it's an interesting story. You came from South Dakota, and South Dakota all the way to Savannah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. That was not the original plan.
Nope. Absolutely not. There has not been a plan in my life that I've ever put in place that's followed through. At a certain point in my life, I just shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
See what happens. See where it takes you.
So The line from South Dakota to Savannah was just about you traveling around, and then your car broke down. Is that?
No. So it was an old 70s motorhome.
Okay.
So I purchased this old 1976 Chevy Itasca 23-foot motorhome. Sponsorship, if you want to send me another one, I'll take it. I just decided, you know, my entire family lived in South Dakota their whole lives, cousins, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, like everybody lived back there. And I just didn't want to be another person to live and die in the same state. So I bought an old motorhome and I traveled the country, just me and the dog, you know. And in 2016, I left. I ended up in Savannah later that year with like $180 to my name after Hurricane Matthew. And I was like, guess I should probably get a job.
Guess I should park it for a second.
Oh, and I found plenty of places to park.
Yeah.
Just had to pay.
And were you, so like the whole get a job situation, was that a like, let me figure something out on my own? Or did you try to do some jobs here and there?
You know, it was, I mean, at that point it was just like, I have to do something. Like I can't panhandle. You know, I got a dog, I got myself to take care of. And I just went out and started applying for, and I was a bartender. So I knew that eventually in a city that loves its libations as much as Savannah does, that I would just be able to get a bartending job.
Right.
Little do I know that once people find out that you're from the Midwest and you have this grew up on a farm work ethic where you're down to work 60 hours a week and not complain and just show up every day early, you know? And then like, as soon as I started putting applications in, everybody wanted to hire me. I was like, oh, I didn't know I get to pick and choose. And it was really hard to put in applications places because I'm like, hey, so it's here, it says address. kind of don't have one of those. And they're like, well, what's your situation? You know, and Savannah is very open in that. They're like, well, what's your situation?
Yeah.
You know, can you come to work and not be smelly? And that is basically the biggest concern. Can you show up to work and not be smelly? I was like, absolutely. I have solar panels and a shower. And like, I got my P's and Q's. Like I started at the Chromatic Dragon of all places.
Oh, wow.
Which is no longer with us. Great location though. And, it wasn't really for me. And then I started at Churchill's, and that was my family for a majority of the time that I've been here.
Oh, wow. It's that's an iconic place here.
So. It was super, well-established, big place, you know, super fun to work there. Longest bar, single rail bar in Savannah, Georgia, if you didn't know that.
I did not.
It's one of the oldest back bars in Savannah as well.
It was the oldest and one of the oldest. And I feel like we've met so many people just in the last like 2.5 years that we've lived here. That have worked at Churchill's at some point.
I feel like
everybody goes through Churchill's.
It's like when you grow up and you're like, and like you get your first jobs or whatever, like you're gonna be really hard to press to meet somebody that didn't work fast food for like at least a little bit.
Right.
And it's kind of, Churchill's is just kind of like that spot where there, three levels, four levels sometimes. There's so much room there that they need like a good staff. And there was always kind of openings because some people, you know, decided they didn't want to come to work.
Right.
Well,
we've got other people.
Bye-bye.
Exactly.
We'll find somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. So when did the idea come to you about doing hot sauce?
Well, that was a super, super accident. My dad, I won't say my parents, but my dad, he's got this, he's always got like one new thing that he wants to do. He's getting older. He's finding, he's like, he gets bored with things pretty easily. He's got to stay busy. He's kind of has the same mentality as I am, you know, work till you're dead. Always have a project. You know, if you finish all your projects, that's when you die. So never, you know, never finish all your projects. Always have something in the works.
Yeah.
And he had a pepper garden or a garden that he would grow hops. And I'm a home brewer. My background, like 20 some years in home brewing. So he grew hops. And every year when the hop season was done, he would send me hops and I'd make beer with him. One year I get my package and it's huge. It's leaking. I don't know what was leaking. It was weird.
Did you send water? What happened?
It was like peppers in little containers and one of them got cracked in shipping. It was like leaking off. But as soon as I opened the box, I knew exactly what I was like. Oh my God, those smell like jalapenos. Lo and behold, he decided the year before that he's going to start a pepper garden. Well, he can't handle hot stuff. I can't really handle hot stuff. And I was like, why? Why on earth would you send me 30 pounds of peppers? He's like, well, I just wanted to grow them. And like, he just wanted something new to do.
He was a
bored man on the middle of nowhere. New project, something new to do. And so he sends me these peppers. Well, I made salsa. Salsa is delicious. I make amazing salsa. But you know how many peppers you need in salsa? Like 3. You know how many I had? A lot more than 3. So I tossed around the idea of like maybe making a hot sauce. So I did. And being the person that I start a job, I have no idea how to do it. I'll learn. And my mind, like I took a job painting fire trucks one time. Didn't know how to paint a car. I was like, I'm either going to learn how to paint or I'm going to get fired.
Right.
So it's worth the risk.
Sure.
It's free schooling.
Yeah.
So I started making hot sauce. And I'll tell you right now, D, they were atrocious. They were not good at all. Because I tried winging it. I was trying to be like, I can do everything. It'll be fine.
Let's just throw a few things together.
I'll just throw these things together. It's just
a little
like
vinegar, right, a little something.
And if you don't like it, throw some paprika and peppered salt at it. It'll be fine.
Right.
Not the case. So it was, and then I still had a full-time job. And I was still, you know, busting my hump working. And then the COVID shutdown happened.
Mm.
And now I have all this free time. And nothing to do. And the stir crazy part of me was like, oh my God, I need something to do. So the girlfriend at the time asked me, she's like, well, why don't you give that hot sauce thing another try? I was like, all right. So I did something I don't normally do. I read.
Ah.
I read things. I read books.
Recipes.
And recipes. Okay. I joined forums. Ooh. I started asking questions, started getting answers. And then it all just kind of started from there. And then I took another stab at it with knowledge instead of just shooting from the hip like a gunslinger.
Right.
And I started nailing everything. So I was thoroughly impressed with it.
Who's looking for a fun night out? I'm always raising my hand for that. It's about that time of year when we'll have some family coming into town. And of course, you want to entertain them with something new and totally fun. Well, we have just the thing. Savannah's best live music and theater experience. It's Savannah Cabaret. And you're in luck. Tickets are now on sale for the production of Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein at savannahcabaret.com. Tickets are on sale, savannahcabaret.com. This production is going to be everything, but you need to reserve your tickets because they will sell fast. I promise you that. The show runs April 18th through May 5th. Go ahead and get your tickets now before they sell out. Based on the classic 1974 movie, it's the hilarious show that tells the story of Dr. Frankenstein's grandson, Frederick, who is struggling to create his own legacy separate from his family's name. It's going to be a monstrous good time on Jefferson Street in historic Savannah. A fabulous cast and a laugh out loud great time, but only if you have tickets. SavannahCabaret.com. And later this year, we've got time traveling drag queens in the 1960s, maybe a little case of the cabaret killer. Doesn't that sound fun? Go get your tickets at SavannahCabaret.com. That's SavannahCabaret.com. Hey, quick side note. I don't know about you and your friend group, but our friends, well, and we are too, are always looking for a great brunch spot. And I've got the perfect thing for you. It's our wonderful partners, colleagues and lovers in Habersham Village. They are now serving lunch. And yes, my friends, brunch on Saturday and Sunday. But check this out. Friday, Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 3, you can go to Colleagues and Lovers in Habersham Village and get a fabulous lunch. Yes, you can also get cocktails because that's how we roll in Savannah. They've got Bloody Mary on the menu, mimosa on the menu, and the other stuff, coffee, tea, iced tea, Coke, you know. But more importantly, the food. Let's talk about the salads. Balsamic beet salad, a chef salad, and fabulous looking sandwiches. Five spice chicken, roast beef. Ooh, a good chicken salad sandwich. Doesn't that sound nice? And of course, they've got pasta at Colleagues and Lovers. But check this out. Brunch on Saturday and Sunday. You can get pancakes, plain or blueberry, and I love Eggs Benedict. Take your friends, make a date, you're gonna love it. Colleagues and Lovers, 4523 Habersham Street, Habersham Village, colleaguesandloverssavannah.com if you wanna check out the lunch menu, the dinner menu, the brunch menu, and more importantly, the drink menu. Do you remember your first like successful batch where you were like, yes?
I do. It was my Thai curry basil, which it was funny. The Bourbon Bell Peach was the first one I did. And that's what I want to do something for Georgia. I want something sweet. I know people love this, the sweetness. With all the fried foods that we have down here, I was like, I want to make something that goes good with fried shrimp, chicken, like all this stuff. But I had a lot of, once I started making that sauce, I had a lot of people. I was like, we want like an everyday sauce, make like a Frank's or Louisiana or a sriracha sauce. And me being the oddball that I am, I'm not going to do something that's already been done.
Right.
It's like a restaurant that makes their own ketchup. Well, Heinz makes great ketchup. Why would you go to all the work to make something that's already been done? So I'm not going to do something that's been done. So that's when the idea for the Thai curry basil came into play. And not only did I not like curry at all, I also didn't like black licorice. So this sauce actually combines a red curry blend with Thai basil, which has like an anise black licorice flavor to it. And for some reason, like these worked so well together that I didn't hate it.
Mm.
And it's like two negatives make a positive, and that's what this sauce was all about. So it incorporates kind of like American like barbecue chili flavor in with like an Indian oriental like curry base to it, and it kind of melds the two together. And it's a really, really fun sauce that you can use on just about everything. It's like a universal red sauce that you've never had anywhere else in your life. So it's a super fun sauce, but it came out of nowhere for me because I really disliked both of those key ingredients separately, but together they worked out really well, and it's ended up becoming my best-selling sauce.
I was going to say it's still quite the hit.
Yeah, it's today. Good sauce. It's good sauce.
I mean, I see people talk specifically about that sauce. I write about it, and it's still like, is that your still number one?
It really depends. Like because I do markets all over in Statesboro. I've been down to the southern, like Brunswick and stuff like that. I did the Banana Pudding Festival in Irwinton, Georgia last year. And it seems like every market I work, there's like a different favorite sauce. When I did the one at Statesboro, it was my spicy dill pickled Rick sauce. When I did the one up in Milledgeville, it was the candied ginger sauce, you know, like an Asian fusion sauce. So it really depends on what market, what time of the year. If I'm working a fall market, the Thai curry one and the candied or the bourbon ball peat, sorry, those ones do really well because it's more of a comfort, warmth. But when you start getting into the summertime, you know, just like your foods change, your ingredients and your accoutrements change to those as well. And that's kind of why I'm also trying to diverse my sauces into something to build cocktails with, because I want it to be like a year round. I don't want people to be like, okay, you only use hot sauces, you know, for food.
Sure.
But there's an entire cocktail program that I'm trying to put together to kind of show the diversity of what I provide and what you can really do with, like, the creativity really knows no bounds as long as you're not dealing with a standard vinegar, you know, pepper sauce, which doesn't leave you a lot to play with. But when you have something that has deep, robust, full flavor like my sauces do, it gives you a lot more to build off of.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the cocktails because I've been really into these like spicy margaritas and stuff like that. And so like, I think there is a whole, you know, taste, flavor profile and a crowd for these spicy and, you know, different kinds of cocktails. I think that would be a huge hit.
I think spicy the hot sauce trend has kind of been kicking off the last few years, just like, you know, when IPAs became a thing and everybody wanted the IPAs and, you know, and then it was all hot sauce and everybody wanted to do hot sauce. And the people to get into that, you see those small breweries that started going in, they never really nailed anything. And then they kind of fizzled out because it's expensive. It's expensive to get into brewing with your licensing and distribution. It's not for the small pocketbook.
Right.
But having something like this, which is a little more manageable and you can step into it, you know, and I can do this at my own pace. It really helps me not only get to know my business, but it helps me get to learn how to do my own expansion. And it's been really super cool.
I like how you are really targeting a crowd of people. And these are my people that like the flavor of hot sauce and the different varieties to be the champion and the star, because I don't like a hot sauce that's too crazy hot. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm walking away and all I can feel is the heat for 30 minutes, like I'm like, that kind of ruined what I was trying to do with it. Mm-hmm. I really like how you seem to be like, that is your focus too.
Yeah. I love, and don't get me wrong, I love to sweat when I eat as well.
Right.
I'll sit down some Thai food. Like I've asked for Thai food. I was like, I want it extra, extra spicy, you know, and you see the cooks poke their heads out from behind. It's like, who asked for that? And they just see me sitting there and they're like, oh, we're going to mess this guy up.
Yeah.
And like, I'll sit there and I'll eat through it. And I'll sweat. One of my least favorite things, though, is waking up at like the middle of the night, like, I want my bad decisions to be immediate. I hate it when they catch up to me later on.
Full on regret.
Full on regret. I don't, I'm too old. I'm getting too old for this.
That's right.
100%. So that's, yeah, like I got made fun of a lot for it. They're like, man, we love your flavors, but it's not that hot. And, you know, and one of the hardest things that like to get across to people that are so used, you know, especially with like, you know, the last dab and hot ones coming out and watching people sweat and having that be like, this is what hot sauce is supposed to be like. And I kind of got to tell them, it's like, it's not like, just like when you go out and eat, it's like, you can have the hottest, you know, Chinese food ever. If it doesn't taste good, if the noodles aren't cooked right, if it doesn't have a proper balance in flavor and heat, then it's not, it doesn't matter how hot it is, it's not going to be good. Mm-mm. And so I try to come at this with more of, I'd say like, I think the biggest influence for me personally is my home brewing experience. You know, the cleanliness that you need in the fermentation process, the balancing of ingredients. If you go too far one way or the other, you're going to lose it. But also 10-year bartender, 12-year chef. So I have like all these finite experiences and these job experiences and all this training that I've done for myself, you know, through other people and all this knowledge that I've gained. It all kind of surmises itself in like this one idea. And this idea has been that I don't want to make something super hot. I don't want to make something that's going to be regretful. I want people to just even try my hot sauce plain and come away with bright eyes, to come out with a new look on, like, this is what it's supposed to be like. I want you to be able to try my sauce and look at all these other ones out there that are going for crazy colors or crazy heat or just trying to do something off the wall. And that's not what it's about. That's marketing. It's good for them.
Sure.
But if you can't be consistent with your product, you can't put out a good product,
right,
and you can't stand behind it, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Right. Right.
And like with this whole process, yes, it's only been like 4 years, but it has been a labor of love. And I haven't like bowed down to the people that wanted me to make a super hot sauce. You know, I haven't, you know, you should make a sriracha. You know, oh God, if I had a nickel, I wouldn't need to make hot sauce for every time I heard somebody say, you should make,
yeah,
you know, you should get on Hot Ones. Like, right. I don't want to be on Hot Ones.
Yeah.
I can't. If I was on Hot Ones, my inbox would be astronomical. Like my orders would flood in so fast, I wouldn't be able to keep up with it. And, you know, building a business and building a brand is not so much about how much money you have. It's about getting your production quality standards set, making sure that there is consistency in batches, and just really putting out a good product that people want to buy. Not because that you had a great commercial that they laughed and like, oh, I'm going to buy that. You know, I want them to taste it first. Like I want people to experience it and then tell your friends. Like I'm not paying Facebook to advertise for me. I'm not paying Instagram to do pop-up ads. I'm literally working from word of mouth, person to person. And it's working.
Mm.
And if you do something really cool, like this cool ass podcast,
right?
It's going to work.
It's going to work. And it's organic and real. That's the thing.
It is organic.
And I know that's cheesy, but it's true.
Cheese is organic. Everybody loves cheese. True. Lactose intolerant people love cheese.
I love cheese so much.
I know.
Much. I love cheese.
Even with regerts, even when you got the regerts in there.
Yeah.
Girlfriend, lactose intolerant, never giving it up. She showed me this lasagna that she sent me this Instagram, like this lasagna, and it's got like 9 cheeses and they put more cheese on. She's like, oh my God, baby, I want this. I was like, you would die. She's like, I would die a happy woman.
That's right.
I was like, well, then you're dating the right man. Because I want that too.
That's right. Who doesn't? Good Lord. Well, you've obviously made many, many great choices in your building your brand and your business and, you know, your recipes. One of the greatest decisions I think you made, which I think is just amazing, is putting your face on the bottle. If we meet people out and we're like, oh yeah, hey, do you know MF Hot Sauce? And they're like, oh yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. If as soon as I pull up the picture,
oh yeah,
of
we
the
know
bottle,
that guy. Oh, we've had that.
Boom. They know it.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, how did that come about? How did you decide to do that? Because you're very recognizable. You have quite a look.
I didn't want to be recognizable.
I know. I've heard that.
Shot myself in the foot there.
And yet here you are on the bottle, and it has taken off for you as the brand.
It started as a joke because I thought this was going to be a fun little hobby, just like when I made my beer and I'd give it to friends. Like I thought this was going to be the end of it.
Right.
Like it was just going to be a fun thing I do a few times a year.
Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha. Look, my face is on it. Ha 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 ha. And like my original bottles came with these knockoff Rick and Morty stickers that I got off Amazon.
Fun.
And I slapped them on there. None of the sauces had names. And I gave them out to friends and then they were gone. And I did more and they were gone and I did more and they were gone. I was like, all right, well, I think we're going to have something here. So the story behind the face. So I was making dinner one night, for a lovely lady that I was dating, and I was making Indian tacos, fry bread tacos, call them what you want to call them. When you're making stuff from scratch, I'm chef, like, I want to get my hands dirty. And I was making like the fry bread dough, and then you got to like flatten it out, throw it in the fryer oil. And I just had like this, I'm a 2-year-old that ate a cake with my face and hands thing going on.
Right.
And I had this, I had a roommate that I had him take a picture of me and they stood on the counter and I just made like a little T-Rex arm thing. And I put my hands up like this and I took a picture and I sent it to her. I was like, baby, you know, I'm making fry bread for tacos tonight. You know, and it's like blah, blah, blah. And she laughed at the picture. Lo and behold, a couple of weeks go by. And I'm like hemming and hawing. I'm beating my head. I was like, I think I want to start doing something like a small business. Like, I don't know what to do for labeling. Can't keep using these stickers. Like, I'm going to get a cease and desist on it. Even if they're knockoff ones, like, they're going to hit me with it.
Yeah.
I mean, no publicity is bad publicity, but I didn't feel like getting sued with no money in my bank account.
Right.
And this same girlfriend, she was like, I think you should use that as your logo. I'm like, I am not that conceited. I mean, to an extent I am.
Right.
But I'm not conceited enough to like put my face on a button. Because I see a lot of people that, you know, that will make beer or do this or barbecue sauce. And I remember this barbecue sauce. It was called Fat Guy on a Couch. And it was just like this guy in a dirty ass A shirt sitting on a couch and like barbecue sauce all around him. And I was just like, I loved it. But right. I was just like, I just can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah. Am I that guy?
Do I want to be that guy? But I wasn't the guy on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I ended up sending that photo to my friend Taylor, who's a tattoo artist here in Savannah, Georgia. And he does amazing work. Like, I love the kid to death. He's a superstar in my books. And he ended up, you know, sitting down as most tattoo artists. And like, I am not an artiste.
You're a different kind of an
flavor artist.
Yes.
There we go. Flavor artist. Yeah. And, so I sent it to him. He ends up throwing it on his tablet, basically cartoons me and sends it back to me. And I am smitten. Mm. I sent him nothing but that picture. So he put the bubble with the hot. He had me answering it. You know, a ghost pepper for a phone. And I looked at it and I just like, I'm getting a little welly up here. It was I watched Bambi all over again. And I just knew then. I was like, this is it. Like, how do we go with it from this? So, and that's where the original label that I won the world's favorite label out in the Old Boney Mountain.
I saw that.
Yeah. I won first place in a worldwide international hot sauce contest. I was like, holy crap. I didn't think this was going to happen.
You want an award for the label before you want an award for the hot sauce.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you know you've hit the marketing out of the park.
I was, we got the live stream for it. We watched it at the Wormhole, and they had a comedian that was on stage. I'll remember, I'll laugh about this till the day I die. They had a comedian on stage, and he was on Comedy Central. Like, this was a comedian. So we're stuffed back in the corner because they said that we could watch this on pay-per-view. So they gave us a TV back in the corner. And this guy is on stage, and they're going through the list, like, number three, and the number one, you know, world's favorite hot sauce label, and they called MF Hot Sauce. And like, my dozen people just started screaming, beer went everywhere. I'm jumping up and down like I just won the World Cup.
Wow.
And like, the guy on stage just like stopped. He's like, oh, is this your show?
Is this your show?
Is this your comedy show? I was like, I'm sorry. I just won world's best hot sauce label in California at an international hot sauce festival. Yeah. I was like, I'm a little excited right now.
Yeah.
So he understood and he carried on with his set. He mentioned me a couple more times.
You were the heckler, but for a good reason. I mean,
I was surrounded basically by family and friends.
That's perfect.
It was a super amazing thing. And I wouldn't have been able to do it without the friends and family that I made in Savannah. So it wouldn't have been physically possible whatsoever.
I love that. I mean, it seems like the support system for most businesses in Savannah is so important. I mean, not only does everybody kind of pull together, I feel like all the business, especially hospitality industry, everybody sort of pulls for each other. And even if you're stepping out on your own and doing something and you've been working at one place, everybody's still like cheering you on here.
You can absolutely have a financial backing and start a small business. You can move to Savannah and start a small business with financial backing. And I can almost guarantee you, unless you have an amazing product that nobody's ever seen before, it's not going to last. Savannah is really one of those cities that takes care of its own. And once Savannah realizes that you're not some goober coming here from up north or wherever we come from, South Dakota. I mean, what do they call them down here? Damn Yankees. The Yankees, the people from the north.
Yes.
And then the damn Yankees are the people that move to the south and stay.
Yes.
So I guess I'm a damn Yankee.
I guess.
But I love it down here and I don't have to shovel snow. But had I not been a bartender, had I not made the connections and the friends at the places that I worked at, and it was just being, and it wasn't about trying to be somebody different. Like, coming out here and like that whole trip on the road was like discovering who I was, what I wanted to be, to get out of where I was and trying to conform and just be able to be me. And I showed up in Savannah after 5.5 months of being alone on the road, 17,000 miles, you know, just driving all over hell and gone. And I just came, I was like, I'm going to stop being what everybody else wants me. I'm just going to be me here and see what happens.
Do you think you've made an imprint on the community here as much as the community honestly knows you've made an imprint.
I think that the community here has definitely made more of an impression on me than I have on it. Mm. I don't know. It's like, rate this person 1 out of 10. What do you think you are? I was like, oh, I'm a 6. I'm like, do you think people would agree? I was like, I don't.
Do you buy your own hype?
I don't even buy my own sauce. I DoorDash that. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it's, it's with any relationship, whether it be you in a business, friends, roommates, relationships, business, anything like that. If there's not that balance between the two, if there's not open communication, it's just never going to work. So it's as much as Savannah has given me, I've also tried to give that same reciprocation, I guess would be the best word, back to Savannah, sponsoring music festivals and stuff like that. We did, I was in the bicycle club, the Wolfpack. We had a gal hit us up one time and she was doing a charity drive where her youngest, it was all about bicycle safety awareness for kids, helmets, oh, yeah. We did my Toys for Tots drive, brought in 300 and something, so it's not a great amount, but the Wolfpack pulls together, we got a couple other clubs that pool together to do this, but it's about giving back to the community. So we ended up doing this bicycle event, showing kids how to ride bikes, making sure they look both ways, showing how to put on a helmet and making sure it's tight, and it was not a profit thing. It was kind of a charity event, donations for raffles and stuff like that. It's about giving back. So if you have something that you can give and it doesn't put you in a bad financial or emotional situation, then give,
Right.
And that's how I think a lot of people should be. And it's tough. It's tough to especially when you've been on hard times for so long and you finally get into a situation that's comfortable, it's hard to say, well, I can help you. You kind of just want to squirrel away.
Yeah.
And I've never really been that kind of person. And I think I think if anything, that part of my personality has really rubbed off on a lot of people to help them kind of do the same thing. So it's not so much, well, did I make an impression on Savannah? No, I don't think I have. Have I made an impression on the people that have met me to think about things in a different way, in a different light, and maybe do things in their life a little bit differently that makes them feel better about themselves? Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, I get that. I feel like you're right. It's a relationship, and so many people here know that. And those are the businesses that thrive.
Yeah.
When it's like, I'm doing for the community and the community's giving back to me. And it is just this circle that mm-hmm. it really is. And it feels fantastic if you get in the circle.
it's karma. I mean, karma with a lot of people, don't want to touch on religion. No one touching this and that and the other, and that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts conversations. Sometimes you just don't want to have.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, karma is a real thing.
Yeah.
And the bank of karma is a real thing.
Right.
And I had some bad karma for a long time because I made a bunch of dumb decisions.
Right.
I was a poopy person for a little while. I'm not going to say I was a horrible person. I was just a person in a situation that made a lot of dumb decisions, just driving excessively fast, and it just being an irresponsible youth, like a lot of us are.
Sure.
But the growth after that, and it's a decision. You're like, do I still want to do this? And it's like, and once you start believing in that whole karma thing, don't accept it as a god or religion or something you have to donate to or go to church on Sunday. Just imagine it, the good that you put out in the world will be reciprocated to you. And if you keep living your life like that, it's gonna get better. You're gonna see it. And I, for somebody that literally went through so much bad juju for so long, finally, I'd say I spent the last 8-9 years just making sure that, if somebody asks for help, I help them. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it happen. I'm feeling the weight lifted and I'm enjoying the fruits of it. And if once you start getting happy and you know that the things you are doing are making you happy, shocker.
Yeah.
You're probably going to keep doing them to keep yourself happy.
Oh yeah. That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you really not buy your own hot sauce? Do you really like your own hot sauce? Do you use it regularly? Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I do. I do love my hot sauce, but I also have, my other hot sauces, my staples, my Cholula, my Sriracha.
Mm. There's a place for that. Yeah.
I still got a bottle of, it starts with T, rhymes with Bell, and they make a fire sauce that's absolutely delicious. I still got a bottle of that.
Okay.
I am not a snob when it comes to hot sauces, but yes, I do use mine a lot because they are all natural.
Yeah.
I do know the process. I know the ingredients. I know all the ingredients in there are natural. And I'm not a person that's just like, you know, I really care about what I put in my body, because you'll still see me in that McDonald's drive-thru. I'm not, there's still shame in my game. But no, I like my Bourbon Bell Peach, as far as like my universal uses one, it's almost like a barbecue sauce. I love like sweet and heat. So that one ends up getting used mostly. But if I'm more towards my savory side, don't really want to go sweet, that Thai curry is just, and it's hot. God, it's, and I love breakfast foods.
Oh,
so that
yeah.
Thai curry on your eggs, and like sausage sandwich, biscuit sandwiches and stuff. Ugh, and I found myself using my hot honeys now a lot too.
Oh, wow.
Ugh, I mean, I try to, like, people are like, do you want dessert? I'm like, no, thank you. I'm already sweet enough, which is kind of a bold-faced lie, but I am sweet. I just don't have a sweet tooth. But man, that honey is I've been like,
I love a good, like, hot honey.
That Chick-fil-A. Mm. Chicken and biscuit yeah. sandwich they got yeah. with that peach hot honey on it. I was like, and I tell people, I was like, that's a game changer. And you see those at the markets, you see their eyes light up and they're like, I think I'd like a bottle of that. I got you, man. I got you.
we've been putting hot honey on pizza with some pickles.
Beautiful.
And, oh my gosh.
Beautiful complimentary.
So good.
I have a new jar of hot sauce. I'm going to get you. I was running late today. I didn't have
a chance. It's fine. I had a feeling we could get some. So
it is.
I know a guy.
I got a guy. You got a guy. You got a human meat guy, Frank.
I got a guy
for everything. But it is a smoked Fuji and Gala apple with Savannah Bourbon Company sweet tea bourbon. So it's a smoked apple bourbon sourwood hot honey.
Whoa.
I'm going to get you hooked up with a jar of that, because it is.
Yes.
And if you like cocktails.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
In a Paloma or a margarita, it is phenomenal.
Oh, I'm excited. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. So where do you do all of this? Where do you put all this together? Where do you cook all this stuff up?
In a land of make-believe. No, it exists. Small businesses, you can work off a cottage license, and what that cottage license allows you to do is make an at-homemade product, edible, non-edible, for reasons, whatever it may be. You follow yourself under a category, and as long as you get your kitchen inspected, make sure that there are no pets available, that you have countertops that you can easily clean, and your production facility doesn't have any industrial equipment in it, you can provide a product to people through a cottage license in the state of Georgia. I'm actually expanding out of said cottage license and out of my house, because I like to use my house for things
other than
hot sauce.
Hot
Believe
sauce.
It or not, I like things other than hot sauce.
Yeah.
So I'm actually, I'm teaming up with the Trailer Park Restaurants. So he is going to be putting together a kitchen that I have been invited into.
Nice.
And once I get into that kitchen, we're looking hesitantly at May, depending on whether or not he lets me come in and help build things. For that to open, it will make me Savannah's first official production hot sauce company.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow, that's amazing.
So it's going to be going from a small at-home thing. I think my first bottle order, I bought 24 bottles, and then I bought 48 bottles, and then I bought 250 bottles, and now I'm buying 500 cases at a time. So the expansion, it has outgrown where I'm at right now, but it's a little nerve-wracking. I've never had employees. Never filed tax paperwork for employees. I never had to do, you know, workman's comp and stuff like that. So this is, you know, my last year was about redoing the brand a little bit, reworking the label, kind of getting some finer things hashed out where I could like kind of slide those over into the retail once I got to that level. So this year is going to be focused on expansion.
You're not taking the face off the bottle.
Oh God.
Come on.
If anything, I'm going to put a butt on the back.
Oh good. Man, we cannot take the face
off. No, the face is going to stay. The face that face will live on longer than I will. So, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So where can people get your hot sauce? Because I, you know, that's the one thing is like, you've been growing, and now you're expanding. Now you're going to have some space, but you're everywhere. You're at markets, and where can people get you?
I mean, everywhere. I would love to be everywhere. I would love for there to be five of me, because then I wouldn't have to work that hard.
That's right.
Like, it would be great. But right now we're like Mataharis. You know, it's kind of like, how do you get there? What's the secret knock?
Yeah.
Like, if we're not that. Like low key, but there is locally made Savannah right on Broughton Street. I do have a few varieties available there. If you would like to try any of my sauces before you buy, and you cannot find me at a market, you can easily go to one of any of the Trailer Park locations, or a taco affair on Montgomery Street. They also recently picked me up, and nice. They have some small little bottle section there available for sale. So you can try it in any of those locations. And every once in a while, the Black Rabbit, you'll find a couple bottles sitting there hiding, but you got to ask for it. You got to ask for that special sauce.
Yeah, that's the knock. You got to, you know, knock on the bar, Black Rabbit, and be like, hey.
But if you go on mfhotsauce.com, you can find everything available online. If you are in the Savannah or the Savannah area, you can opt for free pickup or delivery, and I'll basically get in contact with you. You get in contact with me, and it's a free delivery. So you can still get it directly from me, and I can bring it right to you. It's like, I got anything better to do.
I know a guy.
I got a guy. And if he don't got a guy, his guy's got a guy.
That's right. That's
but
right.
There is never not a way to get it in the city of Savannah. It's not going to cost you anything extra. All you got to do is put your order in, and I can take it anywhere in the surrounding area. Markets, I'm trying to get better about my markets and having like emails sent out, or at least get like a calendar set up. If you go to the website, you're going to see where I'm going to be at, and that would be super helpful. But again, I'm kind of ADHD, so I kind of all over the place. And I try to stay focused, but as a one-man band.
I was going to say, you're one guy.
I need a social media person that's going to work for Hot Sauce.
There we go.
If anybody's listening and wants to work for Hot Sauce, I got you.
We can figure that out. Absolutely. We got a big audience here. We can figure that out.
Good.
Are you making anything new? Is there anything? Are we just like, this is right now.
The ADHD is still kicking in full swing.
Say, your dad would want you to have more projects, so...
I think the Lord would want me to have more projects because he ain't ready to see me yet. No, I'm going to be expanding. So with this expansion this year is going to be another expansion. Last year's expansion was the Hot Honey line. This year's expansion is going to be into a pepper and herbal infused olive oil line.
Mm.
So for the chefs out there that want to do something really, and even if you're just doing it with bread, you know, and just a real fun ingredient. You can use it in marinades. You can use it, you know, in just about everything. You can make cocktail floats with it and stuff like that. You know, oil and water separates. I didn't know that they made like oil infusions for tinctures for cocktails because they do like little droplets and they'll float on the top.
Sounds interesting.
It's like a whole thing. But I know olive oil is one of the healthiest oils that you can actually eat. It's
right.
Like better than grapeseed oil, you know, peanut oil, all that stuff. Like olive oil, as far as your body digesting, is one of the only ones that's truly good for you. So with that being in mind, like I want to do something with olive oil. My chef background, I know exactly how much I use olive oil. And I was like, man, how fun would it be to do like a rosemary and saffron with a chocolate habanero and chili tapa pepper, you know, from South America. Like, how fun would that be?
That
be real
nice.
Mild on the heat.
Yeah.
Real mid-range on the herbal, but just something real. And a nice, tall, sexy bottle with a gold label on it.
There you go. Boom.
I want to be right next to a bottle of Dom Perignon and make it make sense. That's what I want.
All right. Last question for me is, I love oysters. Which of your hot sauces would be great on an oyster?
Story time. I don't really like oysters. As a South Dakotan.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't like oysters.
Yeah.
Nasty, gross little sea boogers. And that's all I knew. And let me tell you one thing about South Dakota. The last thing you want to do in South Dakota is go out, man, I'm going to go get us some nice fresh seafood. It is the most landlocked country, like state in North America. The last place you want to be getting fresh seafood is in a completely landlocked state. It is closer to the Arctic Circle than it is to the Gulf of Mexico in South Dakota. So I never grew up with having oysters and stuff like that. Fast forward, Jeremy decides to get the hell out. Lands in Savannah. Started this hot sauce company. Friend of mine, hey, we're having an oyster roast. If you guys want to come over, I'm like, no. Like, no, I'll bring Arby's. Like, I was just not. If you want me to eat
can
something
you make
that looks,
me a hot dog?
Yeah, if you want me to eat something that looks gross, I'll eat Arby's. Thank you. So he does this oyster roast. And, you know, as me being the person I am, I was like, you know, I'm not going to bring a lot, but I'm going to bring all my sauces for y'all to try. And so that was my first time ever trying oysters. And it was first time I had ever had my hot sauce and seafood. And let me tell you what, that changed my life.
Mm.
So my sweet sauces, the bourbon bell peach and the candied ginger, those with the saltiness, the brininess of those oysters, had one. And two, next thing you know, I'm like a dozen and a half oysters in.
Nice.
And I was like, absolutely fantastic. Two favorites. You ready for them?
Yes.
And they threw me off.
I'm so ready.
Candied ginger.
Really?
Hands down my favorite one. And I don't know why.
Oh my goodness.
There's like some toasted sesame seeds in there. And it's a tomatillo. It's like a verde base. So it's roasted tomatillos and green tomatoes. It's a base.
Wow.
That goes into an Asian fusion sauce, but then comes into like a Mediterranean usage on oysters, which is really unique. But man, for whatever reason, that was my favorite.
Wow.
And the Thai curry basil, hands down number two.
I could see that one.
With that savory.
And, the ginger surprises me.
The ginger surprised the heck out of me. Another, I didn't like curry. I didn't like black licorice. I didn't like ginger. I go out and get sushi. Love wasabi, right?
Mm.
Never ate the ginger. Hated ginger. Didn't like.
But here
like,
we go.
Least favorite things to enjoy.
Have become
my most popular things. But if I can take something that I don't like and make it delicious to the point where I actually liked it,
right,
anything's possible.
And now you like oysters.
I love oysters. See? I'm still a Rockefeller guy. Like I see them in their all natural raw form. I'm still a little hesitant. I'll try it. I get it. Too many horror stories for me to want to do it on a regular basis.
Right.
It's quality.
It's quality oysters. Absolute quality. And I think for me, you have to be distracted while you're doing it. So have a conversation. Don't look at it.
No, conversation, just, a cocktail goes so far.
So good. I mean, it just slides right down.
Are we
down.
Going to get oysters?
I think we might be. I love it. Well, thank you for doing this. This has been so much fun.
Pleasure is always mine.
This has been so much fun. Nice. And good luck. And I've loved getting to know you. And I'm excited to see where you go from there.
As soon as I buy a house, Savannah, you're stuck with me.
Oh, of course.
You're stuck with me.
Thank you, Jeremy. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Dee. My pleasure.
This season, we're so proud to partner up with a trendsetter and a trend breaker in Savannah's historic district, the incomparable bar and restaurant that hits all the marks and sits right at 102 East Liberty Street. I'm talking about Savoy Society. You know, we fell in love with this downtown hotspot well before we even moved here, and it's captured our hearts even more as locals. Now, it's my favorite spot to grab a lemon drop martini. Mm-hmm. Hands down, best place to get a lemon drop martini. And I even like to try something new on occasion, like a sourdough flatbread, a slider, maybe even a new cocktail if I'm living dangerously. But don't even get me started on Me Gusta Mondays and the hot honey margarita, because once I tried that, Savoy Society, seriously, you had me at vinyl and wicker. The long bar, the cozy sofas, oh, and the pickled deviled eggs, and the mini hot dogs with the tots. It's a whole vibe. If you Google it, you'll see the popular opinion is the bartenders are just lovely. That's an understatement. They're really genuinely amazing. Stop by Savoy and tell them you heard about them on the Made of Savannah podcast. Savoy Society Sav, S-A-V, if you're looking for them on Instagram. Also, SavoySociety.com. Check out the full menu. You know, some people have a dream home. Some people have 10 dreams about buying property in 10 different places. At Cork and Austin Hill Realty, we always want you to live who you are, wherever and whatever that dream looks like. You hear businesses talking sometimes about how long they have served a city, but do you ever stop and wonder if they mean that's how long they've been in business there? Or do they really mean that's how long they've served that community? Corcoran Austin Hill Realty truly serves Savannah. Yes, I mean the region, but I really mean the people, the history, the business developers, the nonprofits, all communities, all backgrounds, the buyers, the sellers, the investors, the mom and pop shop owners, the first-time home seekers, the young, the matured, and we've been doing it, serving you, since 1978. Corcoran Austin Hill Realty sits beautifully at the corner of Liberty and Bull Streets in historic Savannah, home of the Made of Savannah podcast studios, and home to a huge group of people ready to serve you. 251 Bull Street, Savannah. Stop in, ask questions, see local artists at Location Gallery, and check out available listings at CorcoranAHR.com. Thanks for listening to the Made of Savannah podcast. Do us a favor, write us a review, give us a rating. Make sure you subscribe or follow the podcast and share this podcast with someone you know. Follow us on Instagram at Made of Savannah. And a huge thanks to our sponsors, Savoy Society, Colleagues and Lovers, and the fabulous Savannah Cabaret. If you or someone you know has a great Savannah story to tell, be sure to get in touch with us. We would love to hear it. The welcome mat is always out.